الحمدللہ الحمدللہ وکفا وسلام علی عباده الذین اصطفا صلی اللہ تبارک و تعالی علیہ وعلى آلہ و اصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا اما بعد فقد قال اللہ تبارک و تعالی فی القرآن المجید والفرقان الحمید اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أثبت أحد فما عليك إلا نبي أو صديق أو شهيدان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected ulama ikram, elders, dear brothers, alhamdulillah, as we well know, we have entered the month of Muharram, 1446 Hijri, the first month of the Islamic calendar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to spend this year in a better way than we had spent the previous years. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to spend our entire lives always in His obedience, staying away from every single action, thought, and deed that earns the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. Respected elders and dear friends, there is a less famous incident of the martyrdom of one great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that had also taken place in this month of Muharram. That is none other than Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just as the Islam of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an was a great bounty and a great blessing to the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a great strength to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tragic martyrdom, the murdering, and the loss of Hazrat Umar radiallahu an was also a very, very great tragedy and loss to the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Commentators have mentioned that the martyrdom of Hazrat Umar radiallahu an actually opened up the door to the different trials and fitnas that thereafter befell the ummah and will continue befalling the ummah. It was on one occasion that Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu an, and they were standing on the Mount Uhud, and this great magnificent mountain, it started to shake and move. So Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam stamped his Mubarak foot on the mountain and he addressed this huge mountain saying, Uthbut Uhud, fama alayka illa nabiyun aw siddiqun aw shahidan. That, O Uhud, remain firm, remain still, that there is only upon you a Nabi, meaning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Siddiq, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, and two martyrs, referring to Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu an. So Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the lifetime of Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, had already prophesized the martyrdom of Hazrat Umar radiallahu an. Despite knowing this, despite having this information, Hazrat Umar radiallahu an used to fervently make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allahumma arzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik waj'al mawti fi baladi rasulika sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That, O Allah, grant me martyrdom in your path and a death in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if we analyze these two du'as, then looking at the picture of the demographics of the area, of what was prevalent at that time, it would seem that there are two contradictory things, two things that apparently don't seem possible, meaning that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is asking for martyrdom, he's making dua for martyrdom, and is making dua for martyrdom in Madinah Munawwara, in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that his death takes place in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he's buried in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The reason is that jihad and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taking place out of Madinah Munawwara, not in Madinah Munawwara, not even in the vicinity of Madinah Munawwara. So apparently it would seem something that's far-fetched that a person would be martyred in the city of Madinah Munawwara, in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu continues making this dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu with both these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu with shahada, and together with the shahada in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what an amazing shahada, that whilst Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was leading the Fajr Salah, he was stabbed leading the Fajr Salah in the Masjid of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was fatally stabbed, and this was the cause of his passing away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu with both these du'as, something that our minds tells us is far-fetched at times. Nothing is short in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our duty is to continue having yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging and asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many lessons that we will derive and we will learn from this incident of the martyrdom of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. This is one of the lessons that we learn, that I will elaborate on this further, that a person should not give up hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the qudrat and the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times, or most times, our minds are limited to what we can understand, what our eyes can see, what our ears hear. This, we are restricted by this, but we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any form of restriction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do and does as He pleases, where He pleases, when He pleases. So this, to understand the great desire that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had for martyrdom, besides this dua that he used to make regularly, on one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was addressing the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and he mentioned to them that there is a palace in Jannah. There is a palace in Jannah which has 500 doors. And at each door, there are 5,000 hoors. There is a palace in Jannah that has 500 doors, and at each door there are 5,000 hoors. And then Umar radiallahu anhu continues and he says that this palace is for a Nabi. And then he turns towards the Mubarak Qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, O dweller of this grave, may glad tidings be upon you. Thereafter he continues, so it's either for a Nabi or for a Siddiq. And then he turns towards the Qabr of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he says, glad tidings be upon you, O Abu Bakr. And thereafter he continues and he says that it's for a Nabi or a Siddiq or for a Shaheed. And then he addresses himself and he says that how can you attain Shahada? How can you get Shahada? Thereafter he makes a statement and he says, a very profound statement. He says that Allah that brought me from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara, meaning made me make hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara, that very same Allah is fully capable of giving me martyrdom in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinah Munawwara. So now from this we understand the great passion and the zeal and the fervent feelings with which Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was making dua for something that he wanted. Sometimes we are desirous of performing certain deeds. Maybe we want to engage in certain acts of social welfare. We want to try and assist the plight of the ummah in various different parts of the world. Sometimes when we hear the news or when we read the news regarding what is happening to our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Gaza, in various parts of the world, we become affected and we wish that we could assist every single person. And we know that it's beyond our means. We don't have the financial means or the ability to assist every single person. Or there may be other things that we may aspire for. Maybe we aspire that we wish we could build a masjid so many people could come and perform salah in that masjid, and we would get the sawab of that, a sadaqah jariyah, for ourselves or for our parents deceased or whoever. So like this, a person may have many noble aspirations that he wishes to carry out, but he feels that his capability and his ability is limited and he will not be able to perform this. This thought of being incapable or this feeling of being limited should not stop a person from begging and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should continue begging and asking and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fervent dua, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah make it possible for that person to be able to do that action. And if a person is unable to do that action for whatever reason, then based on his niyyah, based on his good intention, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the rewards of that action. So basically, the background of this incident of the stabbing of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu in his martyrdom was this, that Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu had a Majusi slave, Firoz Abu Lu'lu'a. So this Firoz Abu Lu'lu'a used to work for, he was a slave of Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, and they had an arrangement that he would engage in some trade and he would pay Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu 4 silver coins a day. So this Firoz Abu Lolo, he comes to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu with a complaint that my master, he makes me engage in trade and he's making me pay him 4 silver coins a day, and I feel that this is exorbitant, it is high for me, and I cannot afford this, I cannot afford paying him this amount of money. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, the just person that he was, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu makes an investigation with this person. He questions him. He asks him, what trade do you do? What type of work do you do? So this person told Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that I manufacture handmills. He used to manufacture other things also, but he kept that concealed from Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He only told him this much, that he manufactures handmills. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, okay, you manufacture handmills. How long does it take you to manufacture a handmill? And after he did the maths and the calculation of how long it will take him and how many handmills he will make for the day, etc., Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu told him that, look, actually the amount that your master, Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, is asking you for is little. It's a small amount in contrast to what you are actually doing and what amount you are actually making. So it would be better if you just quietly continue paying him that money. But together with this, together with advising Firoz Abu Lolo in this manner, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had intended that he will go to Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu and he will also intercede on behalf of this slave and ask him to reduce the amount further. However, this slave, this Firoz Abu Lolo, he was not happy with the decision of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and he made a statement saying that this person is just to everybody else, but he's not just to me. From here we understand also that the murderer of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu recognized the justice of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Be that as it may, as he was leaving, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu asked him that, will you manufacture a handmill for me? So he says to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, yes, I will manufacture a handmill for you. I will manufacture such a handmill for you that will be the talk of the towns. So after he leaves, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, in a very concerned manner, he asks Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu that, what did you gauge from the statement of this person? And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, it seems as though he has threatened you. By the statement of his, it seems as though he has threatened you. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice us. So this Firoz Abu Lu'lu, he goes and he manufactures a dagger with 2 points, and then he poisons this dagger, and then he comes to the masjid at the time of Fajr, and Hazrat Amr bin Maymun rahimahullah, he narrates that between myself and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was only Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and as was the habit of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he had walked through the safs, straightening the safs and preparing them for salah, walking with his sword. And thereafter, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had barely started the salah when he exclaimed that the dog has killed me. Those that were in the immediate vicinity of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, right close to him, only they knew what happened, that he was fatally stabbed. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he pulls Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, who was behind him, he pulls him forward to continue with the salah. Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu continues and finishes the salat quickly, and thereafter the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they take Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu away to his home quickly. So as I mentioned, on the sides of the masjid, not close to where Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was, the only thing that they realized was that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's voice had stopped. They were not hearing his voice in the salah. So they started saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And in this way, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was taken away home. But this Firoz Abu Lolo, now in trying to escape and get out of the masjid, in the process, he stabbed another 13 people, and from amongst those, 7 became shaheed. After this, somebody from the gathering, from the congregation, they took a shawl to try and apprehend him. They threw a shawl over him, this Firoz Abu Lolo. And when he realized that now he was in a fix, he was trapped, he took his same dagger, his poison dagger, and he stabbed himself and he committed suicide in this manner. So this was the incident and the manner in which Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was fatally stabbed, and this became the means of his martyrdom and how he passed away. Some very important lessons that we learn. One was the aspect of the dua that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu made, fervent dua for martyrdom. Other few incidents, we'll just touch on, time is almost finished. One incident was that many Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in had come to visit Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu in this condition of his, just prior to him passing away, meaning after he was stabbed, between his stabbing and the actual time that he had passed away, many Sahaba radiallahu anhu came to make i'adat of him, and they came and they praised Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, many, many praises, that you were foremost in accepting Islam, and you were the close companion of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Khalifa, the Amirul Mu'mineen, and your Jannah is guaranteed, etc. Despite all these praises, the humility, the taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu possessed, that in many of these instances, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu would reply to those Sahaba radiallahu anhu with these words, that I hope that I just break even, that my what good deeds I have in contrast to my wrongs, I just break even and I can come out easily and be freed from becoming into any problems. One Sahabi, he mentioned to him that, I know you're praising me of all of this, but I know of the horrors that await me. If I wish that I had an abundant amount of wealth that I could have paid and ransomed myself and freed myself from the horrors that await me. This was the humility, the tawazu that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had. Together with that, what youngster had come to visit Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu in this condition? And he also praised Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And whilst he was leaving the presence of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, in this condition of being fatally stabbed, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu perceives and notices that this youngster's lower garment, his pants, is below his ankles. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, you can understand this was the stabbing that led to his passing away. So how seriously he was wounded. It is mentioned that the depth or the how deep the wound was that anything that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu drank or consumed, it would, the liquid would come out of that wound that was in his stomach because it was pierced so deeply. And that is when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu realized that this wound is very fatal and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is not going to make it. So in this condition also, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is conscious of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the dictates of deen. He calls this youngster back and he tells him that raise up your lower garment. It is cleaner for your clothing and it is closer for you to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's more taqwa in this, that your garment be raised and it does not go below your ankles. Important point for us to realize that holding on to the sunnah and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something that we have to do right up to our dying day. And another incident, the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Miswar bin Makhrama radiallahu an, he comes to visit Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, and he finds that Hazrat Umar radiallahu an is, he asks the people that how is he, and they say to him that he is as you see him, he's unconscious. So Miswar bin Makhrama radiallahu anhu says to the people that are around him, around Umar radiallahu anhu, that call him for salah and he will awaken. Because salah was something that was foremost in the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So the people said to him, oh, Amirul Mu'mineen, is the time for salah. Just by these words falling on his ears, in this fatally stabbed condition, in a condition of being unconscious, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu immediately awakens and he says, he makes a statement that there is no place in Islam for the person who does not perform his salah. And he goes, he stands up and he performs his salah in a condition that his wound is flowing with blood. From this also we understand that the importance that the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed to this great action of salah, this great action which will be the first deed that we will be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah, when we are raised up, it will be the first deed that will be questioned about. And we understand from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if this deed, this action of salah is correct, then inshallah the rest of our deeds, the rest of our accountability and accounting will go with ease. So this was the importance that Umar radiallahu anhu showed to his salah right up to the point when he was about to pass away. He still had salah foremost in his mind. This is also an important aspect for us, that for trivial reasons, sometimes because it's too cold, sometimes because Fajr is too early, sometimes because we are busy and the shop is booming, we make salah qaza. Sometimes we miss salah altogether. We should realize that salah is an extremely important part in the life of a believer. And we should ensure that we perform our salah, and not only perform it anyhow, we learn how to perform the salah, and perform the salah as it ought to be performed, taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, observing all the various different sunan, mustahabbat, and different adab of the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.